Welcome to the first part of a two-part series where I sit down with e-commerce industry expert Sabir Semerkant. As a co-founder of Viner Commerce alongside Gary Vaynerchuk in 2010, Sabir has developed unique insights over the course of his 25-year journey through the evolution of online commerce. Using these insights, Sabir has generated over $1 billion in incremental revenues from e-commerce sales. As a pioneer since the inception of e-commerce, Sabir brings to the table a wealth of knowledge and no-nonsense attitudes to industry fluff and a profound understanding of the numbers that fuel the digital market space. We will also discuss the transformative power of data and the wisdom that comes from 25 years in the business. As we prepare to unravel the e-commerce layers with Sabir's, a central theme of our conversation will be his 8D or 8-dimensional method. This is a framework based on the 8 critical dimensions that are the pillars of e-commerce success. Let's cut right to the chase, understand why Sabir is so passionate about the industry, and lay bare the principle of achieving tangible growth. Tune in for an innovative way to navigate the e-commerce landscape. So let's dive in. Welcome to the Ecom Pulse, your heartbeat to the world of e-commerce. I'm your host, Eitan Kotter. Join us as we meet with industry leaders, marketing experts, and the innovative minds behind the tech that is shaping the e-commerce future. So plug in, gear up, and get ready for a pulse-pounding journey into the heart of e-commerce. Sabir, how are you?
How you doing, Eitan?
Going well.
Thank you for having me. I think we're going to have a blast.
Yeah, plenty of things to discuss today. Sabir, I mean, you're in the industry for, 25 years. I mean, it's probably since the inception of e-commerce. And I always ask, I interview so many guests and I see all the passion and the energy about e-commerce and people are like veterans and they are like, it's the first day of a job. Why do you think this is the case and what triggers you? What makes you so passionate about the e-commerce business?
For me, it's the fact that the BS factor, right? In this industry with the e-commerce, because it's so data driven, right? That the BS factor is eliminated.
Wow! Right? Nice.
It's purely the number. The truth is in the number.
Yes.
It either worked or it did not work.
Yes.
That's it. There is no ego. I mean, if you put ego in it, you got to fire that agency or the person, right?
Immediately.
Yeah immediately, because they don't understand e-commerce. If they're giving you a lot of fluff or a lot of what I call BS factor, right?
Yes.
I'm from New York, so I have a BS antenna radar.
Yeah.
I can recognize it
very
quickly.
Sensitive, right?
So with this field, what excites me is the mathematics. It's the number. It's the data.
Yeah.
And even when you talk about brand awareness, though that seems to be a non-quantifiable thing, you can quantify it in e-commerce.
Yes.
100%.
I mean, BS is like, hey, this thing works perfectly for that other brand. Let's do that also here. It might work, right? That's a like next level of BS, right? It's this.
Yeah, like
I see always.
Yeah, I can tell you, given my experience, because I've worked within the same category, I've worked with very similar brands over time. And I can tell you, between even two brands that sell the same product are very different brands.
Exactly.
Right? The measurements, because time changes. Like, let's say last year I did a fashion brand, right?
Mm-hmm.
And this year I'm doing a fashion brand. A lot has changed with the platforms, with the strategies. The economy has changed between last year and this year. Or if the experience was from 2 years ago, we were in the middle of the pandemic, right? Very different environment.
Completely.
So, you could take it as a theory to say, hey, I tried that in your category with this brand and it worked. Let's try it out to see if it's going to work for you and then measure it. And if it works, go ahead and scale it. Great. If it doesn't work, shut it down or change the variables because times have changed. Platforms have changed.
So many things are changing, obviously, over time because of microeconomic conditions and whatever. A lot of things are different between even fashion brand to fashion brand or even in the same category competing to the same market. But a lot of things are still the fundamentals are probably there are a lot of fundamentals which are solid, right? And you probably, more than anyone I know, analyzed and researched and probably investigated and had success stories with some of these fundamentals. And you worked throughout the years and developed variety of models and processes that you are continuously optimizing. So we would love to learn more today about your theory, about your expertise, about what you put into practice. How do you make brands successful? But before we get to all of that, I think it's important for the audience to learn more about you, because there is an amazing story here that needs to be told.
Sure. So I'm the founder and chief growth officer of Growth by Sabir. It's my advisory firm. I don't call it an agency because a lot of agencies have given bad name to agency. So I don't want to call myself agency or a consultant. Yeah. You know, yeah. I'm an advisor.
Yeah. Okay.
And over my 25-year career, I have increased or an incremental revenue of $1 billion in e-com revenue. With a B.
Wow.
So that's what I have done across many different product categories, across multiple platforms. So you throw Shopify at me, or WooCommerce, or Amazon, or Walmart, or Target, or taking brands in the United States, bringing it into China and Japan, or taking brands from like Netherlands or any brands like that and bringing it into United States. I have done that. I've played the game of e-commerce locally as well as globally. And I even my active clients right now are from all over the world, and they're all doing e-commerce, and we are all winning from that perspective. So the method that I have crafted, and it has taken 25 years to keep on maturing and keep on refining, and that's what I do. I keep on refining it, like, because things change, the platforms change, everything changes. And I call it the 8D method. 8D stands for eight dimensions. And when I look at a business, when I look at an e-com business, and actually 8D method has been applied to other businesses too, non-e-commerce businesses. Some I've had clients like that too. But specifically in case of e-commerce, what it does is it takes a holistic approach and not a siloed approach. And because a lot of businesses, and you know, Eitan, you've been in the game also, right? Mm-hmm. You know that if you go to a Facebook agency, your problem is Facebook, right? Yep. If you go to a Shopify web dev agency, your issue is site redesign, right?
Yes.
If you go to a CRO agency, it's conversion rate optimization. You go to affiliate marketing, they'll say, well, affiliate marketing needs to be optimized. But no one looks at the entire business and says, you know what? Let's fix the foundation. You called it the fundamentals. Yeah. I call it dimensions and foundations of the business.
Yes.
If your products are not rationalized, meaning that you have too many products and you don't have enough budget to actually market them effectively, then you're wasting a lot of operating time and dollars operating that business, right? Mm-hmm. So when it comes to, just think about that one extra product that you add, you have to put operations behind it, inventory behind it, you have to put effort behind it, you have to train people, you have to tell the story, all of those things. If you don't do that and you think that, oh, it's just, I just put it up on my website or Amazon seller listing page. Yeah, you did the bare minimum. You're not doing anything with that. It's like, you know, Eitan, do you have kids?
Sure, I have five kids.
Five kids, right?
Yes.
If I tell you that, you know what, your neighbor has 20 kids, you should get 20 kids, right?
Yeah.
Would you go and do that?
Me personally, I wish, but no, I don't think it's feasible anymore. Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense, but a lot of businesses, what they do is exactly that, unfortunately, right?
Yes.
They look around, they go like, in your case, I use your neighbor. What if it was your competition, right, in your business? You have five flavors of this gum, and with this gum that you sell, bubble gum, right? Now, your competition sells 25 flavors. You look at them and you say, oh, that's because they have 25 flavors. That's why they're winning. How do you know that they are losing big time and they're going to be going bankrupt because they made a bad decision with 20 different flavors?
Sure. Sure. So, I mean, you talked about siloed, you know, type of consultants or agencies or activities. I call them the sad silo, right? So it's like, you know, it's really, really sad. That's not the way to do things. And the AD model is all about holistic approach to everything, right? So this is, I think, one important aspect. And also, you mentioned like variety of SKUs and everything. What I see right now is just companies are looking at what's working and what's not, make the strong stronger, and even, you know, get rid of SKUs or even markets that are not profitable anymore, because everyone are looking for profitability and growth, right? So let's dive into the AD models, right? Tell us what it is all about.
So let's go one dimension at a time. Like, what are the challenges before I dive into each dimension, right? Mm-hmm. One of the other challenges besides, you know, like not making strategic decisions when it comes to your business, right? The other one that I typically see, and because your audience is focused on Shopify, right?
Among others, yes, but yeah.
It could be Shopify, Magento, WooCommerce, right?
Yes.
Typically what I see is there's a lot of bad information out there. And that bad information, what it's doing is it influences you to, if you have a Shopify store, you got to do Facebook ads,
yeah.
Right? Those two things go together, right? And there's a lot of bad advice in that to start with, because then what you're doing as a business, and I call it the Facebook, Instagram slot machine.
Right? Slot machine, yeah.
They put the money in, and if you're lucky, you're going to get some money out. That's your ROAS, right? That's your return on advertising spend. And then every time you put a coin in, you get a bunch of coins, let's say three coins, that's three ROAS. You go like, oh my God, I'm getting three ROAS. Yeah. That's great, right? Return on advertising spend. Every dollar I put in, I'm getting a $3 out, right? Successful campaign. That's what the YouTube guru told me. As long as I'm getting 2.5, above 2.5, I'm in a good shape, right? Mm-hmm. So that's a slot machine. You're not running a business. What you're doing is you're constantly buying your transactions. Every time you're buying your transactions, and that's what you're doing, right? So that means that, you know, the other way to look at ROAS is to say, like, let's say if it's costing you $10 per order to acquire it through Facebook, and that $10 is giving you a $30 average order, right? From that channel, your ROAS is 3, right? So that's why you really need to be smart about, get really smart about, like, are you really purchasing transactions or are you acquiring customers? And there's a misconception between transaction being acquired versus acquiring customers and what do you do with those customers, right?
Yeah.
So that's another gigantic mistake between understanding those kinds of things.
I fully agree. And if this is the only way for you to transact or to grow or to acquire, something is fundamentally wrong, right? Because if something is happening over there, right, if ROAS is not like it used to be, or the efficiency of the campaigns are not perfect, then probably, you know, your business is going down, right? And there's always, I always believe about, you know, it needs to have like organic way of acquiring customers. This is the fundamental thing, and strengthen this with paid media, right?
Yeah, and the other part of it is also because you're so transactionally charged, right? What you end up doing is to you. For most businesses that I see, this is another gigantic mistake before you mm-hmm. implement an AD method, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other mistake is the misconception that marketing means sales, right? Marketing is marketing. Sales is sales, right? Those are two very different things. Those are two very different disciplines, very different strategies. Sales strategy is different than marketing strategy. You could combine them if you understand what you're doing, right? Mm-hmm. But you cannot call marketing sales strategy.
So what's
right?
the definition according to your experience?
Yeah, and then what happens? Even that transactions that you're getting, oh, we are marketing on Facebook ads, right? No, you're not marketing on sales. You're not doing that. You're not marketing. You're getting sales.
Yes.
That's part of your sales strategy, yes. Right? Marketing has to do with something that what are you doing with your brand? So when you're not in the room, that everybody talks about you. How great your vitamins and supplements are, how great your fashion clothes that you wear, right? How the stitching is so amazing. And mm-hmm. I'm telling everybody about it, right? How the weight management thing that I bought from you that has helped me gain muscles and stuff like that, right?
Yeah.
It's when you're not in the room, that's the power of marketing your brand and storytelling, right? That's the other part of it. That's a gigantic mistake I see in e-commerce businesses, especially Shopify sellers, right? Mm-hmm. That they mistake sales with marketing. And what happens? That extends into social media with content, right? When they're posting social media content, they're doing YouTube videos, they extend that sales mentality and they say, oh, content marketing. No, you're doing a sales video and you're expecting people to watch your commercial.
Yeah.
Right? And you're posting it organically and you expect them to watch your commercial and spend their precious time watching your commercial. No, you need to do proper content marketing on those platforms and build your community properly, right? That's another gigantic mistake that I see that most businesses do. And this is just like two of the mistakes. Like there's a whole list of them that I actually go through. There's an upcoming Rapid 2X live workshop that I do that mm-hmm. that actually goes pretty deep dive into the 8D method with case studies and with more details about these different types of mistakes that I would encourage your audience to actually go and register for it. It's growthbysevere.com/workshop. They should go and register to see what the next upcoming one, and they should attend that to actually understand what these mistakes are, and they should take notes because it's a live workshop.
Yeah. Yeah. So definitely we will put all this information in the show notes. Okay. So, so marketing is about, you know, brand management, word of mouth, right? And developing all these magnets that are bringing, you know, leads, qualified leads into the funnel, probably providing content through valuable content, not pushing your products. Yeah, pushing your products is also part of the deal, but it's not the first step. You want to build a relationship first, and a good relationship, obviously.
And no, it's not just a relationship, Eitan. It's also the emotional connection, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's does your brand, the next level, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Does your brand create that emotional connection with your audience, with your community, that regardless of what you come up with, because you have that built that emotional connection, what happens? You introduce that next thing, people buy it out and you're out of stock, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Great thing to be in, right? I mean, sure. Let me ask you a question, Eitan, right? Are you a Samsung guy or an Apple guy?
Apple
guy.
Yeah.
Why do you buy Apple?
I mean, that's a very good question. I was a Samsung guy for many years, but then I switched the laptop and then I got an iMac and then I got the Apple Watch, or the ecosystem. Like the
and now you're emotionally vested in it, right?
Yes.
Not just the ecosystem. You're emotionally vested in it.
I'm like a presenter of the. I mean, everyone asks me, so I always say, "Hey, look at the ecosystem. It's amazing." So I am Apple marketeer already. So, I totally agree. So there is emotional touch. Definitely, Apple is probably the most interesting example for emotional connection and brand, but. Not everyone are Apple, right?
Yeah, Tesla or Toyota?
Tesla, but I have a Toyota.
Right? And Tesla actually lends itself to the whole Apple ecosystem kind of a lifestyle.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
The symbolism, the iconography, everything feels like Apple also,
yes.
Right? Even though Tesla is Tesla, Elon Musk is amazing, right?
Yes.
And Steve Jobs, you know, rest in peace with Apple and his crew is now taking mm-hmm. that stuff over. The point is, each one of these brands make a strong, and they have it has taken time, right? But you know, I'm sure that a lot of Shopify sellers are saying like, "But Sabir, Eitan, I'm not Apple, I'm not Tesla." But Tesla didn't exist also so many years ago, right?
I mean, I mean, even Shopify. I know Shopify are, you know, making a lot of activities right now to go up a funnel, go for the enterprise market, right? With Plus and with a lot of activities, so. There is a war out there between Shopify and Salesforce and BigCommerce. It's very clear, I think, where the market is going. So again, this is not a discussion about technology platforms, but I mean, we will see Shopify, I guess, everywhere in all customer
sizes. Yeah, it's also like to your point. There's an ecosystem. There's a network of people, especially with a Shopify platform, right? That if you were to try to find a Shopify designer or developer or an app, you can find it quite easily compared to any other platform.
Exactly.
It's really robust.
If you are developing an extension today or developing an app, the first thing you do is developing it for Shopify, right? And then all the rest.
Right. So let's dive into, so there are a lot of these kind of mistakes. I do actually in my workshop go in a lot more detail so that people are more educated, so that when you become more educated about the mistakes you shouldn't make, right? You get better. Yeah. You already get better off. Like when somebody tells you not to do something, remember your mom telling you, don't go and touch the hot stove in the kitchen when you were a kid?
Sure. Right?
And what happened? You didn't listen and you went and touched the hot stove. What happened after that?
Right? Yeah.
You knew not to do that ever again.
Yeah. You need to learn by yourself. Right?
So think of me as your mom, you know, telling you not to touch the hot stove when I go into more detail with all of the mistakes. So the 8D is the 8 dimensions of your business. And these are not just dimensions of marketing. Marketing is just one dimension of the 8D method. So let's go through it. When we go through these 8D, it's actually the order matters, right? So we start with the first dimension being performance optimization. That's the very first one. That means that you have a business, you on Shopify, you have been doing in e-commerce, you've been doing like, you know, 500,000 or more. If you're doing less than that, it's okay, right? It's okay. You could still apply the 8D method principles, but understand that your business needs to mature a little bit more for it to be fully utilized, right? But you can still utilize it. So in the 8D method with the 8 dimensions, the first dimension is performance optimization. And the very first focus in for performance optimization has to do with your website, right? Because anything you do, whether you're doing a great job with organic SEO, social media, running your Facebook ads, doing affiliate marketing, email marketing, at the end of the day, that traffic shows up to your site, right? For most of the platforms, unless you're in China, it's possible you're using one of the apps that's more popular, right? Which Elon Musk is trying to change X to, right? It's not there yet in the West, not yet. You know, but ultimately, you're dropping people into your site. Now, when it comes to the site, Eitan, what do you think the consumer attention span is in 2024 when we are recording this podcast?
Definitely in seconds. I don't know the exact number.
Well, take a guess. It's my favorite question.
Less than
I 10. Ask everybody.
Less than 10. Huh? Seven.
Seven. Okay. Yeah. Seven was true back in 2008.
Wow.
The attention span, and by the way, if you ask what was it 25 years ago, it was around 15 to 20 seconds.
Yeah.
Right? The attention span in 2008 was around 7 to 8 seconds. In 2024, it's 1.7 seconds.
1.7.
I want to repeat that to make sure.
Yes.
Whatever language or version of English you understand, right, in your audience, it's 1.7. That's all it is, right? It's 1.7. And why is it 1.7? It's because of consumers being trained by TikTok, Instagram Reels, and Amazon app.
TikTokification, right?
Right. So your eye has been trained to ignore things within 1.7 seconds, right? And that training has been done across billions of people. So this is not a theoretical number. This is an actual number. And it's not just page speed. What this number is, this 1.7 second number, is attention span, meaning that your page has to appear and you have to make a connection with me to know that this is the right content. I'm at the right place. Otherwise, within 1.7 seconds, boom, I move on, right? And that happens with your TikTok stories. It happens with your Instagram Reels. It happens with Amazon listings very quickly. And there's a lot to be learned from that, right? And one way, and I'm going to give this away on your podcast, one thing that your audience can do right now to their Shopify store, go to a website called gtmetrix.com, gtmetrix.com. We could include that in the show notes also to make it easy. It's a free tool. You could also pay for it. There's a pro version of it too, but you could use the free version. Just go to that site and take your Shopify site, the homepage, run one report for your homepage and run one report for your collections page and one for your product page. Which collections page? The best sellers.
Okay.
Which product page? The best selling product, right? Because if you follow 80-20 rule, your best sellers probably represent 80% of your revenue, right?
Sure.
It could be 10 products or 20 products, or it could be 2 products, but that represents your best sellers. Run it 2 or 3 times, one for your homepage, the best seller collections page, and also your product page. Most Shopify stores get a score of D, E, or F, that means they fail. And if you look at that thumbnail, I don't know if you, I saw you typing it in. So if you ran it on your Shopify site, you'll see a nice thumbnail that shows you the timeline of how long it takes for your page to load. And most, Shopify sites, production, live sites that I see out there, most of them load between 30 to 45 seconds. And the first full load of the top of the page typically takes about 8 to 10 seconds because it's not optimized. Mm-hmm. That first part of it needs to be under 1.7 seconds, or maybe you could get away with 2 seconds. And here's the reason why, Eitan, why you have to obsess about this. Every second you add on top of that 1.7 seconds, every second you add, you're increasing your bounce rate by 30%. You are decreasing, and derivatively, right? Mm-hmm. You're decreasing your conversion rate by 30%.
Yeah.
So if you want to look like a hero, if you optimize this, this journey of a homepage, collections page, and your bestseller, you know what magically happens? I'm not touching any of your other platforms, not your Facebook ads, not your Google ads, not TikTok ads, not your influencer marketing, nothing. I'm not touching. I'm keeping that the same. The same traffic when yours comes to your site, 30% increase in conversion rates.
Yeah.
Right?
That's huge.
So one of our clients, a case study, and we actually have it on our website, and the founder actually gave us this testimonial. In the first week, we increased their revenue by 50%.
Wow. Right?
And that was one of the strategies we used of site optimization, and specifically optimizing for, they got a letter grade A after they finished it within a day and a half. They did it very quickly. They're highly motivated, extremely motivated entrepreneurs. They did a great job. They jumped on it. They understood why it needed to get done. They got it done. And the rest of the week, we saw the increase. And they were going like, oh my God. Imagine Amazing. All the lost revenue for the past, since we existed. This is how much we lost. And the first thing that I asked them to optimize, look at every image on that homepage, on that collections page, on that product page. Every single image, including your logo. Most people mm-hmm. miss their logo. Yeah. They don't think it's an image. It's an image. All of it, PNG, take it down to run it into tinypng.com. It's a free utility. You can also pay for that, a pro mm-hmm. version of it, but it's a free utility. Take your PNG file, upload it in there. It's going to optimize it without losing its lossless quality. So you're going to have the same image, but it removes a lot of junk from it. It lightens it up, sometimes saving you anywhere from 60 to 80%. That yeah. means it's your pages are lighter, because that's the number one culprit on a page. If you tackle that first, the images, and lighten your page and rerun after you finish all of the images, rerun the GT metrics on that homepage, collections page, product page, and you'll see how your grade improves. All you did was you optimized. Some people say that, well, Shopify through their CDN gives you WebP. Right? Yeah, if you give it junk, it's going to give you WebP that's junk yeah. also, right? If it's a heavy image, it's not optimized image, it's going to do the same exact thing to yeah. that heavy image. So first lighten it up and then let the CDN from Shopify do its magic. And it does a phenomenal job of speeding that page up.
So this is one thing you can do like immediately, right? For anyone that doesn't cost you anything. But it has
just
a like
time.
It obviously, you said increased conversion, increased sales, but obviously at least multiply or even even
we
more
just
than that.
We turned
your
this
bottom
podcast
line.
Episode into a 30% increase in the, in every listener's revenue.
Yes, 30% increase in revenues without increasing costs. So it's at least, at least
and
double,
derivatively,
double profits,
Eitan,
right? Yeah.
Eitan, derivatively, your Facebook ad ROAS, you're going to go like this to your shoulder because you're going to go like, oh my God, I'm a genius. No, you just followed this advice. That's why your ROAS went from, I don't know if you were lucky, you were getting 2.5, just jump from 2.5 to 4. You go like, oh, wow, Facebook is improving their Advantage Plus campaigns. No, they're not. You just listened to this advice and you did a great job.
Yeah.
There are in the performance optimization dimension, besides looking at, and I'm not going to, I do cover some more in my live workshop. So definitely I would encourage people to show up to the workshop. But in the Rapid 2X Accelerator program, that's a paid program if they're part of it, then what we do is we actually go through these 100 optimizations through the 12-week period across all of the 8 dimensions. So imagine if we take each optimization, and our goal is to do 1% improvement. So if you do 100 optimizations, that's 100% improvement.
Yes,
this is how you 2x the business in 90 days, right? Yeah. If you work 60 days a week, great. If you work 84 days, that's 12 weeks also, right? Regardless, or 90 days, if you want to look at it that way, right?
Yeah.
Regardless of when you look at those, that time period, if you're doing the right things very effectively, just like, you know, it's about laser surgery. So when we are talking about optimizing and doing this one change and how it improves the business by 30%, this is what we are doing in that 12-week period. And that's how in the Rapid 2X Accelerator Program with the 8D method, right? That's an application of it, in that where the group of founders, when they participate in that, they I actually handhold them through that process as a group, and they see minimum, the average brand gets about 2X growth in the 12-week period. But we have had superstars in the Rapid 2X, you know, that graduates that graduated that program, 6.5x.
Wow.
$1 million business going to 6.5 million in 12 weeks. It's a ridiculous claim, right? Mm-hmm. But it's about laser surgery, not butchery, not just throwing things and hoping that it works. It has to be foundational, that it doesn't have to just work for 12 weeks. It has to work for 12 months and the next 36 months and 48 months, right? You just need to be smart about like doing the right things fundamentally for the business, so that the foundation actually throws a base revenue for you. Mm-hmm. And my claim to fame is identifying what that base is for the brands. Because you introduce so much paid into it, you never baseline your brand and your organic reach to identify like what is your brand really worth in revenue without you spending money. And then on top of it, you should spend money. And when it comes to performance optimization, the other parts that we tackle has to do with email marketing. It has to do with Facebook ads and Google ads and all the paid channels and organic channels, and running, just like I just ran this report on GT Metrics, we also run similar reports for SEO, right? That requires sweat equity. And within that, we execute the first dimension in about a week to 2 weeks, depending on the brand. It takes that much time. But we are very methodical in that. In case of Aurum Brothers and his, you can see the testimonial on the website, 50% increase by implementing in that first kickoff call, implementing the recommendation to see 50% increase in their revenue.
Amazing.
Yep.
Amazing, Sabir.
It's about, like I said, in the very beginning, like part of this journey was identifying, like understanding that everything throws off data. Pay attention to the data, obsess about the data, and measure the data, document the data. When you put it up, that's when you're going to improve it, right? Because it's going to stare you in the face. Why are you getting 10 page views per session? Can you get 12 page views per session, right? What happens when you get more engagement on your site? Not conversion, but engagement on your site. Yeah. Session duration, pages per whatever, dwell time, any of those kind of things. That means that the person is going deeper with you in that engagement, deeper engagement, right? Deeper engagement, and means they're going to spend more time with you. They're more bought into you, higher conversion rate, low bounce rate. Very simple.
Yeah. Interesting. So let's move. Let's continue in our journey.
All right. So number two
is
what everybody thinks is number one in e-commerce, right? And that has to do with pricing, right? Everybody thinks that e-commerce is pop pricing, whether you're running Shopify, and it's notorious for Amazon sellers, right?
Mm-hmm.
They think that, oh, it's always race to the bottom line. It's always the price. It's the lowest price that wins. No.
Yeah.
The A9 algorithm on Amazon doesn't run on just price. It runs on popularity and trend of the product also, and it tests ranking of the product. One of our clients, Coloflex, is a number three selling product in their category, fighting against two top competitors that have existed for 50 plus years, right? Wow. That's the category that they're in. And they're the number three player, beating out people who sell a similar product, not the same product, because this is a very good product, at a third of a price. And they are not beating that. So the answer to, oh, Amazon is about price, the answer is no. It's about how you use pricing strategy, right?
Yeah.
You have to be intelligent about pricing strategy. you should not, because for most e-commerce businesses, they go like, oh yeah, just give them a coupon, right? Cart abandonment coupon. Facebook ads, oh, it's new audience, give them a coupon. Percent off, dollar off, buy one, get one 50% off, buy two, get one free, you know, free shipping. You know, I'll give you my child if you buy from me. You know, they give everything away. They give everything away. At the end of the day, they go like, well, we didn't make money on the first transaction, but we have these other things set up that will give us that thing. No, it won't, because you don't have the strategy. You didn't have the strategy for the first one. And 100%, I'm sure you don't have a strategy for the on the back end of it, right? Because the person that you acquired based on that low price, that's a low price shopper. And now if you're trying to sell them premium, they're not going to buy.
No.
Because they're going to go back to the well. They're going to do their search again, find another low price brand. Your audience is the wrong audience. But Sabir, I have 100,000 of these people. You just acquired 100,000 low price shoppers.
Yes.
Yeah, so if you want to continue low price shopping and tank this brand altogether, and go into bankruptcy.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
and do
continue
it.
Marketing to this 100,000 shoppers. You acquired the wrong people.
So you say acquiring the wrong persona and probably have a kind of a very short term view of how to.
And it's purely strategy. Transactional.
Yeah. Yes, purely transactional.
You acquired people who are purely transactional. You did not go after that premium shopper, even though you had a premium brand. You now devalued your product by through mistake in your pricing strategy, right? There are ways to actually reward people based on your pricing strategy on how they buy from you, right? So let me give you an example. If somebody lands on your a product page and that product happens to be a vitamin or a supplement, right, that you take and consume, right? It runs out in 30 days, correct? So if I sell you one unit of this product, I could have it at my price, at my list price, no discounts. But if you buy two of them right now, I'll give you 10% off.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. When you do volume discounting, because now you're rewarding people who are going deeper into your product. If you buy the four units of this product, I'm going to give you 15% off. If you go on Subscribe and Save, I'll give you 15% off. It's a level of commitment. You're matching the level of commitment with the discount. Then it makes sense.
You take something for the additional discount, obviously. You take some further
commitment. And what happens? Your shipping cost goes down, right, on average, right? Because it's two units going out with the first package. In fact, the first pound or the first kilo of your shipping always costs you more money, right?
Sure.
But if you can put in the same two, you know, the weight may not change that much because you're getting charged for the first pound anyways, right?
Yeah.
Of weight.
Yeah.
So you could be that decision is a good decision because it pays dividends even further down the line, not just on that marketing campaign, right?
Yeah.
So you have to be smart about that. And when it comes to subscription, you're getting people who are subscribing to you to keep on replenishing them, right? And like a clockwork, they don't want to think about it. They love your product. They just want to keep on coming back to you without you even marketing to them. That's great.
Mm-hmm.
So there should be a reason behind your pricing strategy and how you're... What about people who keep on buying from us? A loyalty program, for example. In the loyalty program, if you're part of a loyalty program, you should have tiers. And depending on the level of tiers, maybe it can unlock different types of discounts, for example, you could give based on that loyalty behavior. If somebody buys 15 times from you and they have acquired 1,000 points, maybe you're giving them some sort of a special offer on every subsequent purchase they do after those 15 orders, right? So be smart about that. You have to have a strategy in place when you're thinking about pricing. Otherwise, you're playing the lazy marketer's game or lazy sales game, which is just percent off just because you want to acquire that. You're spending even more money on that Facebook ads, basically. You should think about your total cost of advertising. That includes your percent off that you're doing. Right? Most marketers, they think that belongs in a different bucket. No, it's the same pocket. The money is coming from that margin, right? And you're spending money, right? So you have to think about, you know, some Amazon sellers call it tacos, right? It's the total cost of advertising, not just a cost, which is just advertising cost.
Yes. I mean, loyalty is very interesting. It's very like it's untapped field because, let's do loyalty, but you need to dive in even further because people have different behaviors. People are buying in different times, different quantities. different, you know, packages, different flavors. So do that segmentation, try to analyze, you know, what's happening and provide loyalty and incentives based on, you know, behaviors, based on segmenting your audiences. So let's actually, what you're saying is that the devil is in the details, right? You need to dive in to all those topics and optimize and try to analyze what's going on.
Yeah, not surface level, Eitan.
Exactly,
you
not
have
surface
to dig,
level.
Dig deep.
So not everyone can get deep, right? This is why they need help, I guess.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Of course.
So let's go for dimension number three. Marketing. Like I said, marketing, people confusing sales with marketing, right? In this marketing dimension, I would give, if I were to score all of the Shopify stores, right? I would give them C or a D, right? they fail. They're not doing this. Some of them do. There are some brands, really good brands on Shopify platform. They do a great job of marketing their brand, but most Shopify sellers, and I'm sure that I'm willing to bet 70 to 80% of your audience that's listening to this, I would give them anywhere from D through F, you know, for when it comes to marketing. Marketing has to do with how you tell your story, right? If I were to even take, they go like, you know, if your audience members are raising their hand and go like, but I got this drop shipping product from AliExpress. What's different about my product? Like, okay, that's a good place. And that's an excellent question. You're buying it. Why did you buy it?
Yeah.
Right? You are the founder of this company. Why did you buy that water fountain for cats? Right? Why did you buy that one? Right? Because, oh, I did my research on Helium 10, on SEM Rush and Google search, keyword planner, blah, blah, blah. Great volume. You know, there's competition. Yeah, but there's good margin in it. But you have 1,000 sellers selling it. So how do you think you're going to make any margin on this? Right. Yeah. So what makes it different is if you were to tell your story, like let's say you love cats in that example, right? You love cats, or let's say it's a water fountain for dogs, right? You love dogs, right? So if you're a dog person and you love dogs and you got this water fountain for dogs because it makes them, influences them to drink more water out of the fountain, right? So if that's the thing and you own three dogs in your household, it doesn't matter you got that from AliExpress. You could take your photo, you tell your story, recording yourself in front of the video like this, right? You tell that story and you show your dogs enjoying themselves playing and playing in the field. And then they get tired and they come over and they drink from this water fountain and you're taking photos of it. And then they're very playful and you're taking videos of it too. I took the same product that every AliExpress buyer buys from and sells it on Amazon or on their Shopify site. And then they take all the images that AliExpress gives you, all the reviews they give you, they just post it. What makes them different? You're right. What makes you different from the other 1,000 sellers? But I just took that and I did the same exact thing, but I told a story about me, how I grew up with dogs all my life. You know, I even remember my first dog that I had. Mm-hmm. And I remember how that was my companion and my first friend before I had human friends. That was my first friend in my life, right? You see, there's a smile on your face, right? You're imagining me being a child and having this little puppy with me, right? It's that. It's an emotional connection. It's building that and showing the product in the context of my life and how that comes through, right? And I'm telling my story on my Shopify site. I'm telling that on my Amazon listing. You know what happens to the consumers? They go like, well, this probably is the real product. All the other 1,000 listings are fake products. That's what the consumer thinks, because you took the time to actually tell a story, right? Well, one great example for your audience to check out, there's a brand called Daniel Wellington. They do a fabulous job of this exact strategy, that they take something that you would think is available from AliExpress or one of these dropshippers, but they put an amazing thing around it, right? They put an amazing story around it and stuff like that to make it a brand and telling and stuff like that. So they tell their story. They tell it everywhere on every platform that they're on, right? And that's the other mistake with marketing. Like when I see platforms like Shopify and Amazon and Etsy and Target, each and YouTube and all the social media platforms, that brand does not show up to the world the same way. It's inconsistent. So you have to be very consistent about your story when you're telling that story across the board.
Yes. I mean, we are emotional creatures, right? And we take decisions from our instincts, not from our prefrontal cortex, right?
From the time we were cavemen, we were sitting around the fire and we were sharing stories about how the hunt went.
Yeah.
Right? To even now when we're watching TV or we're watching YouTube and sharing, oh, I found this thing on YouTube, and you're sharing those stories. We're all about stories, even culturally, regardless of what part of Earth you come from. You believe in stories, some form of story you believe in. And what's your story as a brand?
So make that emotional connection, not just talk about, you know, features, benefits, all this feature dumping and spray and pray or features, right?
That's secondary.
Yes.
Technical description of your product are almost secondary to that. Because the thing is, once there is a trust level built with that audience, for you, they trust you. They trust that you have put care into that product, so they'll buy the product regardless of its feature sets.
Yeah.
In some cultures, they might obsess about specifics about 16 ounces and 2.2 pounds and 16 per pack versus 20 per pack. But if that shopper is coming to you, that's not the shopper for you.
No.
Right? You want them to buy because of who you are through your stories, not necessarily the specific, you know, nothing beats a great product, right? So I'm not condoning that you have an exceptionally bad product and you're trying to make up for it with telling a story. Don't do that, right?
Sure.
Yeah. If there's a problem with your product, you have to fix it, which we will talk about it in another dimension.
Thank you for joining us on this episode. Your support means the world to us. If today's episode has been insightful for you, consider sharing it with someone who would also benefit. Even one share can make a big difference. Looking to elevate your e-commerce game? Discover Vimi, a multi-channel e-commerce platform that will transform your business with the power of shoppable video. Visit us at vimi.net to learn more. It's Vimi, V-I-M-M-I.net. Thank you for being part of our journey. Stay tuned for more invaluable insights in our next episode.